right, so we're in a teaching series called The Time Is Now. Look at somebody and tell them, the time is now. This is a three-part study of the book of Haggai. Some pronounce it Haggai, but my father, the Hebrew scholar last week, he told us in Hebrew, it's really Haggai. All right, come on, son. Somebody say that with me. Say Haggai. I hope he didn't spit on your neighbor, but that's how you really say it. But I'm going to call it Haggai. I'm going to Americanify it this morning. Just call it Haggai. We're learning some important lessons as the people of God begin rebuilding Jerusalem. Today's message is geared towards those facing discouragement. If you're discouraged, hurting, or frustrated, it is my prayer that today's message will speak to your heart. If you weren't here last Sunday for part one, here's the backstory of what's going on. King Solomon built the temple of God in Jerusalem. And it was a very impressive structure. Some have called it one of the wonders of the ancient world. People came from all over the world to see the temple and to worship there. And the Bible says that the glory of God filled the temple. So they didn't just build God's house to be an empty house. God was in the house. And despite the presence of God in the house of God, over time, the people of Jerusalem and Judah stopped worshiping him. You see, they got distracted and they focused on themselves and they began to worship idols. Time and time again, God in his mercy called them back to himself, but time and time again, the people rejected his calling. Finally, in 587 BC, God allowed the nation to be taken captive. King Nebuchadnezzar and his army invaded the nation of Judah. They destroyed Jerusalem. They took the whole nation into captivity, and they tore down Solomon's temple. This was a low point in the history of God's people, but God has a way of bringing good even out of the worst things in life. Romans 8:2-8 says this, we know that all things, how many things? All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. I think about Joseph in the book of Genesis. Joseph had some hurt. He went through some stuff, didn't he? Joseph was betrayed by his own family. His own brothers sold him into slavery. He faced tremendous obstacles, yet God was with him in the middle of all that, and God was working it for his favor. Child of God, no matter what you go through, good or bad, God will turn it around for your good. Listen to what Joseph told his brothers years later, Genesis 50:20. He said, you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. No matter what you face in this life, you can rest assured that God will turn it around for your good. Joseph went through it, but Joseph stayed faithful, and God turned his misery into a ministry. Isaiah 54:17, one of my favorite verses, one of the first verses of the Bible I ever memorized. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises in judgment against you, you shall condemn. Yes. Haters gonna hate, but you will come out on top of that. Yes. Listen, when life is bad, I find hope in the fact that God is still good. Yes. And he will turn this around for my favor. John 16:33, Jesus said that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Jesus never said we wouldn't have problems. Jesus never said we wouldn't go through some stuff, but he promised, I am with you, and in me you can have peace. God said in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So here in Haggai chapter 1, the people of God were at their lowest point. They had sinned against God. They had lost their homes. They lost their land. They lost their place of worship. But even then, God was with them. He used that season of suffering to draw them to himself. And a new generation came along, and God opened the door for them to go back home. So 50,000 people came back from captivity to Jerusalem. And when they entered their homeland, they immediately began rebuilding God's temple. They laid the foundation. Then they built the altar. But then something happened. Creeps were creeping in. Come on, they ran into some opposition. And the Samaritans came and they fought against them at every turn, trying to stop them from building. So what did they do? They gave up and they quit. For 14 years, construction had stopped on the temple. Nothing. Nada. They gave up. The people kept saying, well, now is not the time to rebuild. Now is not the time. It's not time yet. We'll do it later. We'll do it in the future. It's like procrastinators of the world unite tomorrow. Right? Come on. They kept on saying the time is not now. Now is not the time. So what did they do? They focused on their own houses. Forgot about God's house. But then God sent the prophet Haggai to give them a wake-up call. And this is what God said to them. The time is now. Again, tell somebody the time is now. Let's look at today's scripture in Haggai chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Then Haggai said, Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. Think about that. They had neglected his house, were building their own houses, and God said, I'm still with you. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, and he stirred up the spirit of Joshua and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people, and they came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God. So God says to them, I am with you. And what did he do? He stirred up the spirit of the governor and of the high priest and of the people. God has a way of stirring us up, doesn't he? When there's a job for you to do, you know what God will do? He'll come along and he'll stir up your spirit. He'll stoke that fire. This is what he did for the people of Jerusalem. He came and he stirred them up. He gave them a sense of faith and a spirit of expectation that God wants to do something great in this place. There will be times in your life when God will come and he will stir you up. He'll come and he'll give you a kingdom assignment. Come on, somebody say kingdom assignment. He'll put a burning desire in your heart to do something that matters in the kingdom of God. And here's the thing about a kingdom assignment. Kingdom assignments always come with kingdom resources. Oh, when God calls you to do something and everybody says it can't be done, God will give you the faith to believe him for the impossible. Jesus said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Come on, tell your neighbor, God can do anything. Come on, tell your other neighbor, God can do anything. Aren't you glad God can do anything? Oh, it might seem impossible to you and me and to everybody else, but nothing is impossible with God. He is able. And when God wants to do something in your life, he will stir up your spirit. He'll call you. He'll give you the faith you need to see him do something miraculous. Oh, God will get you so stirred up, you have enough faith to charge hell with a squirt gun. You'll have enough faith and audacity to chase after Moby Dick in a rowboat and bring along the tartar sauce. God will stir you up. You'll be fired up. He'll give you faith. But I want to warn you this morning that even people of faith can get discouraged sometimes. God stirred the hearts of the people. They went to work. But guess what? 1 month later, they were discouraged and ready to quit. Oh, they started strong. But after 30 days, they were ready to tap out. And we could be the same way. Come on, y'all don't be judging the people from Jerusalem because we do the same stuff. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's getting out of debt. You get stirred up. God stirs you up. You're going to be free of debt. You're going to break the bondage of debt. You tell yourself every day, I am going to be debt free. I'm going to get rid of all this debt. But then Christmas comes and what do? You get in more debt. Everybody jumps off the bridge and you jump off the bridge too. Maybe it's losing weight. Woo, preaching to myself right now. Maybe it's losing weight. You get stirred up and you start strong. I'm going to lose weight. I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. And then the Mayola milk truck crashes into the Krispy Kreme truck in your front yard. And of course, you help with the cleanup. Y'all know what I'm talking about this morning. I'll pick up them milk and donuts. I'll take care of them. You start strong, but then you get off track. You go to the gym in January, but by February, don't nobody even know where you are. Come on, we all do this at some point. We get stirred up, we make up our minds, I'm going to do this, but when we don't make much progress, we get discouraged. That's where the people of God are here in Haggai chapter 2. They had been stirred up, they had been excited about their kingdom assignment, they started working, but 1 month in, things weren't going the way they expected them to go. And they got frustrated. So God has Haggai ask them a question, and in this question, he gets to the root of their discouragement. Haggai chapter 2, verse 3. Who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? In other words, who's old enough to remember Solomon's temple? Wasn't it amazing? Wasn't it glorious? Think about the old times. Think about the former glory. And then God asks them another question. How does it look to you now? Ooh. Did God just get real with us? You remember the old temple. How does this temple look? Does it not seem to you like nothing? How many of you remember the former temple in all its glory? Does this temple seem like nothing to you? There are two sources of discouragement I want to deal with today. Comparisons and a lack of progress. This is so important to understand because they were doing the same thing that we do. They were comparing their start to somebody else's finish. They were comparing their 30 days of work to the glory of the temple that Solomon finished building. Y'all with me so far? They compared their start to someone else's finish, and they said to themselves, we just started, and our temple doesn't look very good. The old temple was so much better than this temple. They compared their start to someone else's finish. Now, Bible scholars estimate that Haggai was in his 70s at this point. That means that the prophet himself remembered Solomon's temple. I believe he understood what the people were feeling. Solomon's temple was amazing, and this one seems like nothing. I don't know about you, but I get discouraged when I start comparing my progress to somebody else's accomplishments. Any of y'all ever done that? Come on, that's a trap of the enemy, but we fall for it so many times. The comparison trap. Maybe you're a guy and you're thinking, well, he's got a great job and he's got a nice car and he lives in a good neighborhood, but I hate my job and my car barely runs and I'm living in a van down by the river. Right? You compare your start to his finish. Maybe you're a mom and you do something that no parent should ever do, but every parent tends to do. Maybe you're comparing your kids to her kids. Well, her kids go to school with matching outfits and all this gourmet food in their lunch bags, and they already have college credit in the fifth grade. And you're thinking, my kids are barely dressed. They forgot their lunch money for the fourth day in a row, and they're flunking out of PE. Right? You start comparing, and you get discouraged. Oh, and social media makes this 10 times worse. It really amplifies this whole comparison thing because you'll have a really great order of French fries eaten at McDonald's in Dudley's. You post that on Facebook, and 5 minutes later, your other friend posts a picture of eating steak and lobster. Come on, you're on Facebook, Instagram, Snap, whatever. You know, you're on social media, and your best friend posts pictures from vacation on Miami Beach. And you can't even afford to drive to Busco Beach. And you get discouraged. Your buddy goes on vacation in Paris and you can't even afford a vacation in Fremont. Come on, y'all. It's the comparison trap. All
right.
Not only do we get discouraged from comparison, but we also get discouraged from a lack of progress. Mm-hmm. If you were on any road anywhere over the Thanksgiving holiday, I'm pretty sure you got discouraged from a lack of progress. Okay, they had not accomplished much in that first month of work. So we're trying so hard, but we're not really getting anywhere. And we find ourselves in that same situation, don't we?
Yes.
Come on, you say to yourself, I'm going on a diet, I'm losing weight, I'm getting in shape, and you eat nothing but lettuce and water for 30 days and you gain 5 pounds.
All right.
A lack of progress can be frustrating. You think, well, I've been a Christian all this time, and yet you still say bad words. Wordy dirge. You are a cussing Christian. You get up Sunday morning, you're ready to come worship God, but you cuss all the way to church because you're running late. A lack of progress. And you get discouraged. It can be any number of things. It could be your marriage, your kids, your career, your family, you name it. You're frustrated because you're trying so hard, but you're not getting anywhere. They were building the temple. They were doing what God called them to do. They had been giving their best, and their best didn't seem good enough. Oh, but then God gives them an on-time word. God speaks to them right in the middle of their frustration. Y'all remember last week when they didn't know where to start? God gave them some baby steps. Lord, we don't know what to do. God said, go up to the mountains, bring down the timber, build my house. Y'all remember that? Step one, step two, step three. God made it so simple. Go up to the mountains, bring down the timber, build my house. So what did they do? They obeyed God. They went up to the mountains, they brought down the timber, and they started building his house, but now they're discouraged.
Uh-huh.
And listen to this wonderful message from God. If you're discouraged today, you need to listen to this. Haggai chapter 2, verse 4. But now, be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Listen to this. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. God says, I am with you. Think about the other day, Hudson wanted to ride his bicycle. I said, okay, well, get on your bicycle. We're going to ride down to the end of the driveway and back. So he gets on his bicycle, and he gets a little overeager, and he starts pedaling like, I don't know, Richard Petty. I don't know. He starts zooming down there like Ricky Bobby going down the driveway. And he's going so fast that he gets scared, and he drives off the driveway and falls in the ditch. And the first thing I told him is, don't worry, Daddy's here. I got you. I'm with you. They were rebuilding the temple and they fell off the bike and they were in the ditch and they were hurting and they were down and they were discouraged. But their Heavenly Father said, I am with you. I'm right here. Don't be discouraged. I've got you. Aren't you glad that God will never leave us? He told the people of the land, I am with you, and he gave them some instructions. So what do you do when you're discouraged? God basically says two things. Be strong and do the work.
Yes.
Let me say that again. Be strong and do the work. In fact, say that out loud. Be strong and do the work. Come on, say it like you woke up this morning. Come on,
be strong
and do the work.
There
you go. We want them to hear us at Target this morning, y'all. When you're discouraged, that's God's path to a breakthrough. Be strong and do the work. I'm going to break it down for you briefly this morning. Number one, be strong. Here's the good news. We don't have to be strong in our own power. Listen, y'all, we don't have to do this on our own. Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might.
Yes.
Don't be strong in yourself. Be strong in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what the Apostle Paul said. God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Yes.
Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Uh-huh. Isn't that the amazing thing about God is that we, when we are weak, uh-huh. He is strong.
Yes.
Be strong in the Lord. God says, be strong. Be strong in me. Be strong in my power. Be strong in my strength. But here's the reality for you and me. What you feed grows. What you starve dies. If you're going to be strong in the Lord, you're going to have to feed yourself spiritually. Mm-hmm. You need to spend time praying. You need to talk to God and take time to listen. Well, Pastor, I never really prayed much. Well, have you ever had a conversation with somebody? Have a conversation with God. Just share your heart. It doesn't have to be eloquent words. It doesn't have to be pre-written and pre-programmed. Just talk to God. Tell Him what's on your heart. You need to pray. You also need to be in the Word of God. Because Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the Father. Listen, y'all, if Sunday morning's the only time you open a Bible, you're in trouble. If Sunday morning's the only time you open the Word of God, you're not in good shape, y'all. I'm just going to tell you like it is this morning. Jesus didn't call the Word of God our Sunday bread. Called it our daily bread. We ought to feed ourselves with the Word of God every chance we get. Look, I've been in communist nations. We went to a communist nation where it is illegal to even own a Bible. And yet here in the United States, we have unrestricted access and absolute freedom to study the Word of God whenever and wherever we want. We have printed Bibles, online Bibles. We got Bible apps on our phones. We've got the Word of God everywhere. But the truth is this. You can starve to death in a grocery store. You can have all the food in all the world around you. But if you don't take some and feed yourself, you're going to wake up dead. You can own 1,000 Bibles. But if you don't read them, they won't do you any good at all. If you're going to be strong, you need to feed yourself on the Word of God.
Yes.
Now listen, you don't have to read 50 chapters a day, but you can start with one chapter.
Yes.
Come on, somebody.
Yes.
I start my day like I imagine a lot of you do. I check my phone. Start scrolling and swiping, right? I check my emails. I check, my text messages, phone calls, all voicemails, all that stuff. I start looking at my phone, but I've made a habit before I do anything. I go over to my YouVersion Bible app and I read the verse of the day. I made up my mind. I'm going to at least start my day with the Word of God. And if you don't have the YouVersion Bible app, I dare you to download it today. It is absolutely free. It was developed by a church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. They have a staff of 30 people full-time working on that app and they just give it away. Isn't that crazy? Jesus will make you crazy sometimes, won't he? But it's a good kind of crazy. You need to feed yourself on the Word of God. Read the Word and pray. Do like the Apostle Paul. Pray with your understanding and pray in the Spirit. One of the most wonderful things that ever happened to me in my life was when God baptized me in the Holy Spirit, just like He did on the day of Pentecost. And if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you ought to pray in the Spirit every single day. And if you haven't, God said He'll give it to anybody who asks Him for it. Amen. Jude verse 20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. Every day, the more you yield to the Holy Spirit and lean on Him, the stronger you'll become. Read the Word, pray, and worship. Tell somebody,
be strong
in the Lord. So number one is be strong. Number two, do the work. This is where the rubber meets the road, y'all. God says, do the work.
Yeah.
Well, Lord, I was all excited when you said be strong, but now you tell me to get off my behind and do work?
Right.
What? Notice He didn't say talk about doing work. Notice He didn't say have a meeting about having a meeting about having a meeting.
Right.
He said do the work. God didn't say, go compare yourself to other people. He said, just do the work.
Yes.
What do you do when you're discouraged? Be strong in the Lord and do the work. God says, be strong and do the work. What do you do when you get discouraged? You're trying to build God's house and you get frustrated and you get tired. God says, be strong. Do the work. Pick up a stone and lay it down. Mm-hmm. Well, God, it doesn't really look like anything changed. Just putting that one stone in place. God says, be strong and do the work. Uh-huh. That didn't do much. Go pick up another stone. Uh-huh. And come and lay it down, and it doesn't look like anything has really changed. You go pick up another stone and lay it down, and then you pick up another stone and you lay it down, and then you pick up another stone and you lay it down. You keep on doing the work. Be strong and do the work. Put down another stone. Be strong and do the work. What's the last thing God told you to do? Be strong and do the work. Be strong. Do the work. Consistently do the last thing God told you to do. Oh boy, I could have come in here this morning, said that one sentence, and walked out, and you would have heard a good word for your life today. Consistently do the last thing God told you to do. Be strong. Do the work. Consistently choose the hard right over the easy wrong. Put down the stone. Put down another stone and keep working. Consistently do the hard thing. Listen, it would be easy to quit. It'd be easy to give up and go home. But God says, be strong and keep working. I'll tell you a principle that I live by. And I remind myself of this all the time. I don't just preach and yell at y'all. I preach and yell at myself too, y'all. Especially when I get frustrated or discouraged. This is what I tell myself. Successful people do consistently what ordinary people do occasionally. Successful people do consistently what ordinary people do occasionally. If you're going to be a successful Christian, you need to pray every day. You need to daily be in the Word of God. You need to daily worship. Successful Christians do consistently what ordinary folks do occasionally. Everybody prays every once in a while. Come on, we all get in trouble sometimes. I throw up a flare prayer. Y'all know what a flare prayer is? You don't got time to think. You say, help me, Jesus. Ooh, my goodness. A flare prayer. Everybody prays sometimes. But if you're going to be strong in the Lord, you better be consistent in your praying. Listen, little things add up over time if you're consistent. Might not seem like much now, but stay consistent and keep doing the work. If you're faithful and if you're consistent, little things add up in big ways. Let me give you an example. Let's say that you're 20 years old and you want to save for your retirement. And you don't have a lot of money, but you say, well, maybe I can put $2 a day. $2 a day in a retirement fund. And if you just put $2 a day in a mutual fund, by the time you reach 65, that $2 a day will be worth $1.3 million. Little things add up in big ways, y'all. If you're consistent in doing the work, you will reap a harvest. And I'll tell you this, God's rate of return is way better than the stock market. Be faithful to Him with little and He'll make you ruler over much. But it's so important that you don't give up, that you keep doing the work. Come on, tell your neighbor, be strong and do the work. Listen, don't give up. Even when it looks like nothing is changing, you keep working. Don't stop. You be faithful and God will bless you. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. What do? You show up and you do the work. Amen. Be strong in the Lord. Put down another stone and then put down another stone. And when you want to give up, what do? You keep on working anyway. Yes. Be strong and keep praying even when you don't see results. Amen. Be strong and keep pressing forward. Somebody asked R.W. Shambach one time, Mr. Shambach, what do you do if you pray for 99 people and none of them get healed? I say, send me to number 100. When you don't see results and nothing happens on the outside, keep being strong and keep doing the work. Keep moving forward. You be strong and you keep doing the right thing, even if everybody around you is doing the wrong thing. You be strong and you keep on showing up and exercising every day, even when the numbers are going the wrong way on the scale. You just keep being strong and you keep doing the work. I'm preaching a January message in November, y'all. You be strong and you keep paying off your debt. Even if you can only pay an extra $10 a month, you just keep doing the work. You keep taking those steps in the right direction day after day, month after month, year after year. You keep doing the right thing. You be strong and you keep walking in love even when everybody else is acting a fool and lost their minds. You be strong and you give it your best even when everybody else on your team is being lazy and not doing the work. You be strong.
Yes.
Be strong and show honor even when that boss is ugly to you. Be strong. Do the work. Keep doing what's right. Opposition's going to come. Frustration's going to come. Discouragement will come. But be strong in the Lord and do the work. You be strong and you keep loving your kids and you pray for them and you stand with them. Even when they're acting a fool, you be with them. You be strong and do the work.
Amen.
Be strong and don't ever give up. Amen.
Amen.
I'm almost done with the musicians come this morning. Be strong and do the work. That's God's remedy for discouragement, y'all. I know you might not like it. You might not get happy about it, but it's the word of God and it's true. And if you'll do it based on what God says and not how you feel, you will reap a harvest in due season if you don't give up. Tell somebody again, be strong and do the work. Now tell yourself, be strong and do the work. They were discouraged, but God said, be strong and keep working. And in the middle of their discouragement, that God says something mind-blowing to the people of Jerusalem. He says, the glory of this temple will be greater than the glory of the former temple. They were a little ragtag, jackleg construction crew doing their best to make a little temple in Jerusalem. Even historians say that that temple, when it was finished, it was nothing compared to Solomon's temple. But God said, the glory of this temple will be greater than the glory of the former temple. You see, God knew that it was in that temple that they were building that one day a man and a woman would dedicate a baby that was born in Bethlehem. They knew that it was in that temple that Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, would one day teach and preach and minister and heal. And God says the glory of this temple will be greater than the former glory. And because of Jesus, no longer would the glory of God dwell in a house built by human hands. Because of Jesus, no longer do we have to bring sacrifices to cover our sins. You see, Jesus himself would become the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. And through him, not only are we forgiven of sin, not only are we adopted into the family of God, but through Jesus, we become the temple of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19 that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Oh, aren't you so thankful this morning? You don't have to travel to Jerusalem to experience the presence and the power of God. You can have his power. You can have his presence every day, right now, right where you are. Because child of God, we have become the temple of God. He is not only with us, but he dwells in us. If you're discouraged today, you need to remember that God himself came to you. He's with you. He's with you. His spirit is inside of you. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. And because of that, you can do the work.
Yes.
Because of that, you can be strong and you can keep working even when it doesn't seem like anything is changing, because God is with you and within you. You can press forward and do the work. Will you stand this morning as we pray? Lord, I thank you that you're with us. I thank you, God, that you are with us. I thank you, Lord, for your promise that you would never leave us and never forsake us. I thank you, Lord, that no matter what we're going through right now, you promised I will work all things for your good. I thank you, God, that even when the situation is bad and things don't look good, we know that you are good and you are still God and you are still on the throne. And all things are under your feet. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you would give us the courage today. God, even in the midst of pain, even in the midst of frustration, even in the midst of discouragement, Lord, that you would give us the courage to take that next step. Lord, to keep doing the work. And God, it's my prayer that all of us would find our strength not in ourselves. Lord, not in our friends, not in our own resources, not in our own way of thinking, but Lord, may we be strong in you. May we rely on your strength, God. Lord, help us to keep working and keep moving forward. Help us to be faithful. Help us to keep working until we see the harvest. Help us, God, to be faithful in the little things, trusting and believing you for greater things. Lord, may we know that even in the face of discouragement, that you are with us and that in our weakness you are strong. Thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, for just faith rising in somebody's heart, Lord, for giving them the faith and the boldness to believe you for the impossible, to believe you for the miraculous, to believe you for the supernatural, because we know that nothing is impossible for you, that you are the God of all power and the God of all strength. You are the God of miracles, the God of healing, the God of restoration, the God of second chances. Will you just close your eyes and continue to pray for just a moment? I believe that somebody's life is about to be changed today. In my message, I've talked a lot about doing the work. Do the work. Stay in the game. Be faithful. Show back up. Do the work. Listen, you do the work when God calls you to work, but when it comes to being made right with God, Jesus did the work. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Ooh, this verse changed my life. When I read Ephesians 2:8, I realized that there's nothing we can do to earn our salvation. We're not saved by good deeds. We're not saved by going to church. We're not saved by giving money to the poor. Salvation is the gift of God and is free to all who would receive it. This is why God's love is so incredible. Because he didn't make me go to the temple and make a sacrifice. He came to me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God came to us. Jesus, the Lamb of God, the sacrifice to end all sacrifices, the sinless Son of God, died in my place, but he didn't stay dead. Jesus rose from the dead on the third day so that anyone, and this includes you, anyone who calls on Jesus would be saved, would be forgiven, would be set free. And there are those of you today, you need this, and you know that you need it. Maybe in the past you thought about religion and said, well, maybe I'll go to church and try to find God there. Listen to me. God came to you. That's how much he loves you. He gave his Son Jesus so that when you call on him, he gives you eternal life. He forgives your sins. He'll make you brand new. And that's why many of you here today, you need it and you know that you need it. It's your time to say, yes, I surrender, because Jesus gave his life for me. I receive that gift. I can't work for it. I can't earn it. I receive it. My only reasonable response is to give him my life in return. The most important decision you will ever make is the decision to follow Jesus. And I want to lead you in a simple prayer this morning. I want to ask everybody, let's pray this together. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Jesus, thank you for loving me. Jesus, thank you for paying the price for my sins. And right now, by faith, I receive your gift. I receive eternal life. And Jesus, with your help, I'll live for you the rest of my life. Amen. If you prayed that prayer a minute, you prayed the greatest prayer and made the greatest decision of your lifetime. The Bible says that your sins have been washed away. You've been made brand new.